I wanted to share this morning on the law. And we have a skewed understanding in most of the Christian landscape of today what the law is, what a law is, and what has been presented to us in the wonder and the power of Christ. And God's overall plan for us in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I was grateful that Angela mentioned that we don't have to come with a bull or a goat or whatever. We have a sacrifice that has been given on our behalf, and it's an eternal sacrifice. It's a blood that flows continuously, because the Old Testament describes that in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the life is in the blood. So this blood that Jesus shed for us is a continual offering. It is a continual ministration of God that speaks of better things than that of Abel. It still speaks. And that, it says about even Abel's blood, who being dead still speaks. And so that sacrifice of Christ is not something that is an historical thing. It's a living, powerful reality. And we draw from that. We fail. We have some bad days. And it's in those days that we draw from that blood that ever speaks of something better. And it's always ministering forgiveness, a freedom from condemnation. And there is a law of life within that blood that urges us to get up and move onward in God. So one thing I want to point out is we have this concept in the Christian church that a law is this, you know, we look at the signpost on a highway, it says 70 miles an hour or 100 kilometers an hour, and we have the choice of abiding under its jurisdiction or speeding, which I have been known to do. And so there is a, the law has no ability to affect me. It is a statement. And the in physics and chemistry and in the working of God in through nature, a law is that which describes the behavior or conduct of a substance or a life. And so Paul says in Romans 7:14, for we know the that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So we have this law, the Ten Commandments is a spiritual law. We got to see that. But the problem is you got to have the nature of the Spirit to be able to keep it. I can't go to something and prescribe a law to it and expect it to conform to my prescription of something. A law is that which simply describes the nature and the conduct of something. So we got different breeds of dogs, for example. Well, there is a law that you can read of, and generally a dog will conform to the breed from which its life is consistent with. So when the law says thou shalt not steal, that works great if I'm a spiritual being. But if I'm not spiritual, I am totally incapable of fulfilling that law. Thou shalt not lie. Well, if I got untruth in me, I'm going to tell lies because that's the nature of my being. And so I was thinking this morning, which Angela touched on, the law always requires sacrifice. And so throughout the old covenant, God knew they couldn't keep this law because they weren't spiritual. So he provided a short-term provision until the time of Christ. Paul states that clearly in Galatians and in Romans, and there's traces of it through the new covenant. And so as you and I are born again of the Spirit, there is an injection of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there is a law in Christ Jesus as he enters into us that begins to lift us out of the law of sin and death. That law that says thou shalt not lie, and then we go and lie. So the injection of the nature of Christ begins to lift us out of that carnal law. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through what? Your flesh and mine, God sending his son for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here's the kicker, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God hasn't annihilated. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And he didn't come to abolish the law, which is spiritual. He came to fulfill it in you and in me, but it's by the reception of the law of life, which is in Christ Jesus, that makes us free from the law of sin and death. So there is this enormous investment of God in you and in me to begin to lift us out of that fallen nature and to begin to live in the Spirit, that there is a natural fulfilling of the law in us as we partake of him. So the ministration of the new covenant is one of a ministration of life. God hasn't changed the spiritual law. He can't. The law simply describes a life which lives and walks in the Spirit. God can't, he's not going to abolish it. But his purpose in Christ is to free us from our carnal striving to fulfill it and lift us up as wings of an eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Mount up with wings as eagles. There is a ability to defy the law of sin and death by a greater law, which is the law of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So the law of gravity, gravity doesn't exist because someone wrote a law and said, here's what gravity is. Gravity, the law of gravity simply describes whatever goes up comes down. If it's of an earthly nature, As we are of the earth, we're subject to the law of gravity. So birds have that freedom because they have wings. And the beauty of Christ coming into our life is to bring wings and breathe and cause those wings to grow. So just wanted to share a few scriptures. And of course, the book of James, everybody thinks this guy is just some legalistic guy, but he understands the law of life. So in James chapter 1, verse 25, and I mean, it's been 30 years, I reading the scriptures, you start picking up on the language of God, and it starts to minister life into each of us. So James says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the power of the covenant of God is that there is this law, and God calls the law of the new covenant a law of liberty. It's not only a law that frees us from our carnal striving, but it's a law that, as it works in us, brings us to liberty. It's a law that it's Christ himself. Christ himself is that law that brings us to liberty. And we get discouraged, we get downcast, we get in condemnation because we're all works in progress. So that law of that law that we, because of Christ coming in us, there's this desire in us to be free from those Ten Commandments. And freedom isn't from ignoring it. Freedom is in fulfilling it. And so the law of life in Christ Jesus has and is breathing into us an ability to become spiritual. And in our, as we walk in the Spirit, we naturally fulfill the law of life in Christ Jesus. It's the law of liberty. It's a law that has come to set me free, make me free. The scriptures keep using the word make there. And so, but notice what James says here. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. What did Jesus say in John 15? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me. So this law of liberty, the natural order of life is, it's a law that works in me as I abide in it, as I live in it, as I draw from Christ the resources of his life to have those wings in God. So what does it say? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. So there is a participation required by us to partake of this law of liberty. As we begin to live and abide and recognize that Christ himself is our ticket out of this. You read Romans 7, what is the... It is a Christian life. Paul is describing a Christian life without the power of God. The good I would, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, that I do. O wretched man, who will deliver me from this death? And the thing I like about Romans 7 there, it doesn't say what shall deliver me. It doesn't say, oh, if I just try a little harder, if I follow these 14 rules of how to live spiritually. No, Paul says, who shall deliver me? The answer to Romans 7 is Romans 8. The law of life in Christ Jesus lifts us out of Romans 7, brings us out of looking at our own resources. It's the I chapter. There's, I think, 26 I's mentioned in Romans 8. And it's all the miserable life of reaching into our own resources to get us to do what we want to do or to get us to stop doing what we're doing. And how long we abide in Romans 7 is all dependent upon our perspective. If we're looking to self, enjoy Romans 7. It'll follow you for the rest of your life. But if you're looking to Christ Jesus and participating in him, notice what it says, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer, as we respond to the intonations of his spirit within our being, we become free in Christ. And the fact of all ministry is to, true ministry is born within us as we seek to minister the law of life into the lives of others around us. There is something that impels us, regardless of whether they want to hear or not, doesn't affect the fact that we're free to share it. And that is a principle that always can get you in trouble, but it's a trouble that always comes because there is an impetus in Christ to reach out into the lives of others. And so that law of liberty brings us into the liberty to share Christ regardless of the repercussions. Paul didn't get beat up all the time because people like to hear about there is a law in Christ that can free you from the propensities. And you read Ephesians 5 there, and it describes the works of the flesh. Well, we know every one of those because that is the law of the flesh. The flesh can only produce not nice things. But we have stepped into something. And then James goes on in chapter 2, verse 8, and listen to the language of the spirit in which James is ministering. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, there's the law of life bringing us in, but that's the royal law. That's the law of the royalty of Christ beginning to rule and reign within us. And you and I both, hopefully by now, know that that royal law can only be fulfilled by the royal one living in us. Love is the nature, the atmosphere, and the life of him, and wherever he abides, wherever he reigns, the royal law becomes a natural outflow from us. And so laws govern the nature and the conduct. And as we partake of the law of life, we begin to naturally fulfill the royal law, because the royal one is the one that is ruling and reigning from which it flows. So Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. And so the answer to each of our propensities, because we're individuals, we have propensities that vary according to the nature and the habitat of our own individuality. And so as the law, through the ministration of the law, we discover we have propensities that others might not have. And we can either seek to justify those, or we can seek to, we seek the one that can free us from our own individual propensities, because salvation is a very personal, individual thing. And what his salvation is seeking to produce in me is going to look different in you, because each one of us has a distinct need for Christ, that is personal, because our relationship with Him must be personal. What does it say? You are members of one body, but members in what? Particular. And so it's in the realm of all the ministrations of Christ that come through, like the article Mike wrote the other day. That ministration goes out not to produce another Mike, but to cause each of us to look into our hearts. Are we seeking the benefits of God or the relationship with God? And so those are true expressions that are ministered from the law of liberty within Mike. There is something, a fountain flowing that says, hey, if you want to go farther in God, you want to partake of something deeper, then the very foundation of your motive in Christ is essential to the fulfillment of all that He has purposed. So in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, this is powerful, because these are things that describe the Ten Commandments. And we've got to see them, like Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. We got to comprehend that. He came to fulfill them. He didn't come to abolish the law in Brian. He came to fulfill it. And thereby, He's lifted me out of the law. And it says in, I think, Galatians, it says, the law is not written for a righteous man. Because if Brian would always drive at 100 kilometers an hour and everybody in the land drove at 100 kilometers an hour, there would be no need for the sign, nor the police who police it. There would be no need. So it's in the fulfillment of His life in us that we are set free from the law of sin and death. The theology, and my own theology, is becoming so simple that, it's a simple thing. But anyway, I got to get on here with Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. So Paul says, I didn't know it was wrong to covet something unless the law had prescribed, thou shalt not covet. So the law gives light, gives us, it's the lamp of God in us, saying this is what a spiritual man does. Spiritual man doesn't covet. Well, we got a problem, because my heart covets. So that's where the law is a good thing. Paul says that. The law is good. It's a good thing, because it brings us to our need of Christ. Anyway, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Man, I look at the law, the Ten Commandments now, with anticipation, with an excitement that Christ has come into my heart as the power to lift me out of its jurisdiction, because in coming into Him, I naturally fulfill every aspect of it. And it's pretty cool. It's a pretty awesome ministration of God, from the covenant with Abraham to the covenant that's in Christ. There is a undeterred movement of God to sum up all things in Christ Jesus. And the last proverb I want to read. Proverbs is one of those books that I can't ever go without dipping into the wells that are there. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. So we see this law at work. And as you partake of the law of life in Christ Jesus, he has purposed your life to become a fountain of the wise. To what? To cause others to depart from the snares of death. All ministry is to cause people to see Christ as the answer and the fountain from which we live. And it's in the flowing of the waters between us that, you know, like the article Mike wrote there, there's life in that. And that life has within itself a law that naturally lifts us out of ourselves. In the correction of our desiring God, it frees us from benefits. Well, I want the blessings, but I want to continue to live the way I live. I want to continue to have issues with coveting, with lying, with... I don't want to change myself. I just want the benefits. Well, good luck, if I can use that term. Because Romans 7 is designed of God as a temporary address. The good I would, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, that I do. Ay, ay, ay. And so Jesus comes to the woman at the well. She's had five husbands. And the one she's with is not her husband. And he looks at her and says, if you knew who I was, you would ask of me, of the living waters. And so he's not going, you wretched sinner, you poor, miserable thing. He says, drink of my water. And it'll heal the issues in your heart where your relationships are strong, vital, and real. And so we cannot walk in the law of the Spirit without the life of Christ Jesus. And so that's why we pray for one another. That's why we minister to one another. And the end of the life of Christ in us is that we naturally fulfill the royal law. I like that. The royal law. If ye fulfill the royal law of the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. And love is the end of this thing. And he that knoweth God loves. He that knoweth not, loveth not. I like the way 1 John just, there's no more huge ramblings of, like Paul goes into great length to describe, you know, like Romans, he's describing the law and its functioning and its working. John just goes, he that loveth not, knoweth not. And you go, wow, that really simplifies the nature of the law in which we live. And the more we're free to love, the more we have participated in the doing of the perfect law of liberty. Anyway, I just leave that, and we definitely love and appreciate everyone here, and may God continue to free us to live and dwell with wings in the atmosphere of his life.